This is the Michigan Talk Network. More talk now.
We continue the conversation, so buckle up. We're not done yet. Sharpen your pencil, son. Sit up straight and finish your milk. My next guest, Mark Perry, concurrently a scholar at AEI and a professor of economics and finance at the University of Michigan, Flint, best known as the creator and editor of the popular economics blog, Carpe Diem. Foreign trade is more important to Michigan than any other state, says the professor. Mark, welcome aboard.
Yeah, hi, Steve. Yeah, happy to be on your show.
Glad to have you here. All right, so, you know, I've read a couple of different pieces here. A new NAFTA deal could be the cure for the disease, I'm told. You agree?
No, I think it would be a disaster for the state of Michigan and the entire United States. There was a report done recently and said that, I mean, well, if we're talking about like a complete withdrawal from NAFTA, I'm talking about over a million jobs, and I think something like a quarter of a million jobs in the state of Michigan could be at risk.
So, I think we're looking at an overhaul. I don't think NAFTA is going away. I'm talking about an overhaul of NAFTA, improve some areas. Would you agree with that approach?
Well, I mean, sure. Now that it's more than 20 years after it was started, 25 years, I guess, close to, sure, maybe it should be fine-tuned. Maybe some different regulations and quotas should be looked at, and tariff rates and so on. But, you know, in terms of a complete withdrawal, yeah, I hope that's off the table. I hope Trump's not thinking about that.
I wouldn't think so. No, I think that he probably looked at the stock market from yesterday and said, you know, maybe I'll stop fiddling with that for a few days, because the tariffs that were announced yesterday obviously precipitated a drop of, what, more than 700 points. And he watches the Dow, as we know, quite closely. So that's an indicator that Wall Street doesn't like the idea of tariffs and trade challenges. They on Wall Street like free trade, correct?
Oh, sure. I mean, and people don't always remember that a tariff is just a tax, and it's a tax paid by Americans, not by foreigners. So it's a tax on imports, like a sales tax on imports that is paid by American companies and ultimately American consumers. So you can't raise taxes and then expect the market to react favorably. And for Michigan, it's very important because, you know, over the last month, okay, so the S&P is down by about 4%. GM stock is down by 11%. So automakers, steel producers, not the steel producers, but the steel-using companies are really suffering. Boeing is down, and so, again, you're helping a few companies with steel tariffs and 100,000 workers, but then you're putting 5 million workers at risk and for companies who use steel. So it's just not sensible and logical from an economic standpoint.
All right, so from the point of view of some of the unions that have come out in support of these tariffs, AFL-CIO comes to mind, for example, they support the tariffs, but it's bad economic policy, you say?
Well, I mean, it's good for them and it's good for their companies, and it was good for Whirlpool, for example, when in January when they put the tariffs on foreign washing machines. So it's good for a narrow group of companies and workers, but it's bad for the entire economy. And we've gone through this before. I mean, in 2002, when Bush imposed the steel tariffs, it led to more job losses in the U.S. economy than the number of steel workers. So it's always going to make the country worse off on whole and on net. And I would think, like the UAW, I can't see how they would favor steel tariffs, because according to my sources, it's going to impose about $1 billion of additional costs on General Motors and higher materials for everything that has steel or aluminum in it. So it's going to hurt those workers and those companies and hurt the Michigan economy.
Yeah, and tariffs proposed and put into place by Barack Obama in 2009 also didn't work very well in some different sectors of the economy. So, all right, so back to the whole conversation about Michigan and foreign trade. I mean, clearly, imports and exports add up to 38.9% of the Michigan gross domestic product. And so, you know, we don't survive without foreign trade. So tariffs and all of these conversations you and I are having right now maybe are magnified here in the state. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that's a good point, because it's the most highly globalized and internationalized economy of all the 50 states. It's been like that for several years now, because I do this report once a year. And so, yes, so much of the Michigan economy is dependent upon imports coming in car parts and materials, and then exports, cars going out, that it would really affect Michigan more than other states like South Dakota or North Dakota that are not very highly globalized and are not as dependent on exports and imports. So, yeah, so Michigan is the most highly globalized state.
You know, that surprises me. I mean, because I do, you know, the Dakotas, I get that. But I look at a state like Texas, and I would think that Texas would be more internationally trade dependent. But you say they're not.
Well, they're at about 31% of their economy is exports and imports. And so, yeah, it's just kind of interesting. I, you know, just look at the data and then produce these charts and maps. And so, yeah, Texas, given its proximity to Mexico, that would explain a lot of their trade. Maybe it's just that they're not as manufacturing intensive. Michigan's very manufacturing intensive, and parts and, you know, the supply chain for manufacturing now is really global. So it might just be that, of course, Michigan's located right across the river from Canada.
Well, we are surrounded by them. I hope they're not fixing to invade, because that would be a problem, because they're all around us. But here's something else that people don't have a good grasp on. 40% of the imports into the United States as a whole, 40%, are for the manufacturing of products in the United States. It's not like we're taking in finished products. 40% of what comes in is some sort of a undeveloped raw material, correct?
Well, actually, I think when you add in capital equipment and raw materials and supplies, I think it's closer to 60%. Yeah, and that's another thing. People always think of finished cars coming in or TV sets or clothing, but almost two-thirds of what comes into the country from out of the country are, yes, U.S. companies, U.S. manufacturing, ordering parts and supplies and their inputs into the production process that takes place in the United States using American workers. And the better deal Ford and GM and all the other manufacturers can get on their imports for inputs, the more competitive they are, the bigger market share they'll have, and the more workers that they'll hire.
I have a perfect example right here on my wrist. I have a Shinola watch. It says Detroit, Michigan on it, but it's only assembled in Detroit. These parts are Swiss watch parts that come into Detroit and are assembled there. That would be an example of what happens in Michigan, that's an imported good, correct?
Oh, sure, and then sometimes the trade statistics get a little distorted, because, like, if the iPhone comes in from China, it was like you say, it was really only assembled in China. Most of the parts came from all over, and all the design and marketing is in the United States, but often they'll count the entire value of the iPhone coming in as a import from China, when, you know, the assembly might have only been $4 or $5 or $6 in terms of the total cost. So that gets kind of confusing, too, because everything is so internationalized. And so the country of final assembly often doesn't represent anything about where all the parts are coming from.
Well, there you go. Mark, you know what I really like? I really like smart people. And therefore, I really like you, because you've really got this dialed right in, and you can answer all the questions and do it in a very effective way that you can share with the listeners. And I truly appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
I greatly appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again. We'll leave it there for today. But, you know, these are all important things to Michigan, so they're important to you and I, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Sure. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you. Mark Perry, a scholar at AEI and a professor of economics and finance at the University of Michigan's Flint campus. All right. If you've got some challenges, by the way, with the IRS, get a hold of my good friend Chris McClatcher at Fresh Start Tax Solutions. He's a Michigan guy looking out for you. He'll take care of you anywhere in Michigan, Marquette to Monroe, all points in between. He's there for you. He'll take care of you, whatever you need. All you need to do is get online, put in your area code wherever you live, put in your area code in Michigan, and tax.com. 989tax.com, 734tax.com, 231tax.com. Get a hold of my friend Chris McClatcher. Tell him Steve sent me. He'll understand. We'll be right back.